I loved last month's series, Freedom From Within. Talked about the mind of Christ. Talked about the reality of freedom. I mean, it is closer than you can think. That's why you get your mind renewed to the Word of God. And when you get your mind renewed to the Word of God, start thinking like God, you begin to see it. You begin to experience it. You begin to taste it and touch it. So far, it changes your physical senses to adapt to the truth that's in you. Rather than, they want their own way, your senses. And that does no good. Praise God. Well, we have a new series this month, and it's all about the book of James. And one thing I could say is most believers have all kinds of spiritual ambitions. I want to know God better. I want to be more effective at walking in love. I want to know I'm not being deceived. I want the knowledge of God to abound in me. Well, how are you going to do that? You want these things, but how are you going to do it? You listen to preachers on TV, they'll tell you truth. Do you want, and that's good, you have to have the truth. Or do you want to know how to do the truth? There's a universe of difference there. How do you do this? How do you fulfill those desires to really get more of God in your equation so that you know you're not being deceived? You know you're not being whatever. We're in a fallen world, and it comes at you from all sides. But Smith Wigglesworth said this one time. Smith Wigglesworth, just an amazing man of God. He said, I don't know God by what I see or by what I feel or by what I hear. I know God by what he says about himself. That is what the Bible is. It is God's story. It's his story. It comes from his perspective of man and the world and why we are in the condition that we are, why in our circumstances. And he gives us the remedy for those circumstances and how we got here, what the source of our problems are, and what's the source of our answer, and what the eternity looks like that's waiting for us once we leave this life. So this is what the Bible is. It's God talking to you. In fact, can we go to that, our weekly confession? Let's say this together. Ready? This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. I remember, I think it was Mercy Me sang that song, Word of God Speak. Is that Word of God Speak? All you got to do is put it right here, and it will speak. It will speak to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you run into people and say, well, how can you be so sure? Give me proof. You know, there's another person who asked for proof one time, and that's where all this, the whole world system operates, and show me the proof. And the world system is under the god of this world, and he came to Jesus and said, if you're the Son of God, prove it. Turn those stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, prove it. And Jesus didn't fall for it, did he? He could have said, what do you mean if? There is no if. I am the Son of God. He could have said that, but he didn't. What did he do? He went back to the Word. It is written. You know, all you got to do is read the Bible sometimes to the devil. Just read it to him. Say, Mr. Devil, I don't know if you can read or not, but this is by whose stripes I was healed. That's what Jesus, he just quoted scripture to him. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And you know, he'll wait 40 days for your fasting and then he'll talk about food, bread. It's just the way, takes advantage of every situation And he just filters it so, he's been studying you. He's taking notes on you. And he's building a case against you. And you've got to eliminate that. And the only thing that can eliminate that and bring change to your heart is the Word of God. No amount of proof can change anybody. Thank you for that thunderous silence there. That's praise God. Oh. Do you want some proof? Throughout the history of mankind, nobody was ever perfect except for one man. And you know why? He didn't come to live his own life. He came to do the will of him who sent him, and he let the Father live his perfection through him. Through him. Through him. And then he left the door open for us to do the same thing. To let him live his life through you. And there's no reason, can you think of a reason why we can't do that? Jesus said we can. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens, which strengthens us. And as you do the word, as you do the truth, you get stronger and stronger and stronger. The same way you do sin, and you get stronger at sin. I don't know about you, before I was saved, I was good at sin. I loved it, man. because that's what the world loves. They love darkness. They love sin. But Jesus said, that's why people don't come to God, because their deeds are evil. He said, if their deeds are life, they come to God that they might be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So let's just chew off and spit out all that stuff we don't need. Only one man in the history of the world was perfect. Since the time of Jesus, nobody else is perfect. Every author who ever wrote a book who portrays a character in the history of mankind, and we've got tons. I mean, you go to libraries and see hundreds and thousands of books, all novels and things like that. Every one of them portrays a character who is imperfect in one way or another, flawed either morally or flawed emotionally or whatever. There's flaws in them. There's only one book that gives us a perfect character, and that is the Bible. Amen. Jesus is the only perfect man that ever lived. We know that because it is evidenced by God's witness of his life when he raised him from the dead. Praise God. And there is still, and you want proof? Here's another proof. There is an empty tomb outside of Jerusalem. It's been there for 2,000 years, preaching the gospel, telling the truth of what happened, that there is more than this life, and that we have to prepare for it. Amen? So that's really all we want to talk about that. The other thing is, why would they demand proof? Is because that's the mindset of the world. In fact, the entire mindset and how this world operates is based on proof. The courts demand proof. People have trials and everything. We're living in a fallen world. People need proof. Why? So people don't get away with it. That's what raises the justice standard in this world. But the entire kingdom of God, do you know how that operates? It operates on faith. Because when you believe God, you are attesting to the fact that it is impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. In him is no darkness at all. He is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if anybody wants to lie, it's for a purpose. They either want to get away with something or cover something up, or they want something that they don't have. But God is complete in and of himself. He has no reason to lie. He is light. He is the big cheese. He is everything. All right? And he has no reason to lie. There's no purpose. You're not trying to get anything else. He is totally complete in himself. He has every reason to look at us in our fallen state and say, oh man, I need to help you. Here's the truth. Satan hoodwinked the entire human race that was yet unborn in Adam's loins, and you're part of that. You need help. Otherwise, the devil is your father. You come to me, I'll be your father. I'll be your savior. I'll be everything to you. Did he say that or didn't he? It's not about proof. Jesus said to Martha, he said, if you believe, you shall see the glory of God. It's about believing. You can't say, well, prove it to me and then I'll believe. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. But if you believe him, and you put aside the mindset of this world, God will reveal himself to you. And if you believe, then you shall see the glory of God. That's John 11, verse 40. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. So obviously Martha started to believe. This is our August series, The Power Principles of the Book of James. And James was the brother of Jesus. Well, the half-brother of Jesus. James' father was Joseph. Jesus' father was God. But James was his half-brother. It says so in Galatians 1:19. Where Paul said he went to visit him when he's in Jerusalem. Paul grew up with Jesus. Jesus was his big brother. He saw the real Jesus. How many of you have brothers and sisters, you grew up with them, you know their strengths, their weaknesses, you know what their likes and dislikes are, their preference, you know everything about your brother and sister, right? Well, he knew Jesus. He knew the power of truth. He knew the power of words. When the world was speaking this way, Jesus was speaking the other way. When the world was going this way, he went the other way. He watched this happen before his eyes. He knew the real Jesus. And he was the same all the time. Oh, totally consistent. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he watched him grow up. And he knew the power of those words that Jesus spoke. He also knew the tender love of a big brother and the eyes of a watching brother who loved him. But he and his brothers, they didn't believe in Jesus. Not until they got born again. That's when they found out who he really was. I remember, I was an atheist. Jesus interrupted my life at age 24. And he showed me who he really was. And I was astounded. Where has this been all my life? Why didn't they tell me this in Sunday school? Why didn't, all I did was draw pictures and watch people speak the same way they spoke in the world. Did the same thing. I mean, I couldn't tell the difference between the church and the world. There was no difference at all. I mean, you go to school in kindergarten, you draw pictures. You go to Sunday school and you draw pictures. And the only difference is Bible stories, but they didn't elaborate them enough to change me. It was a mess. It was a mess. Where am I? Let's turn to James chapter 1. And this is written by somebody who knew Jesus, who grew up with him. just let that, I get a kick out of that alone. Verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Well, that's a good way to start off a letter, isn't it? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, the old English is kind of blind to us here. If you read this, let's go back to verse 1. James, a servant of God. James knew he was born again. James knew he was a new creation. James knew that the Son of God now lived inside of him, his brother. He knew that, but yet his identity, how he identified himself to everybody, even his own brothers and sisters, was that he was a servant of God the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was his servant. And I'll tell you what, he's writing to those who are scattered abroad. If there's anything scattered abroad in your life and it's not making sense to you, whatever, get back to that servant attitude. Just get back to that and things will start going. I remember Lori and I were in Connecticut and I was putting suitcase in the trunk of our car and we were leaving come to Chicago. And I went like this and I just fell to the ground. My back, something was wrong with my back and it just, gave out on me. I had no feeling or anything. And I managed to get myself up. And then when we got to the rent-a-car place, I did the same thing and I fell down. Well, I called this guy in our church who was a chiropractor. And all doodade. That was his name, Roger Duda. And I said, Roger, I got to get in to see you. And he said, come on in. Well, he did this scan, and it measured the heat in your spine and everything. He said, your problem is right up here. I said, no, it's down here. He said, no, your problem is right up here. That's where the problem is. And once we straighten this out, the rest will just come in line. I said, really? Well, he put me down the table and he said, boom, shenow! And I said, yeah, I guess it was up here, wasn't it? At the top of my neck. And but you see, once you get that right, the whole thing comes in line. Once you get in line, say, Lord, I'm here to serve you today. What do you want to do? What is your agenda for me today? Who do you want me to reach? What do you want me to do? You know, where do you want me to start? Look, let him be the Lord of your life. It says, you know, there's a lot of people, when they appear before the Lord, he says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? Let's get his agenda going. You be the servant, he be the Lord, and you do what he says to do, and you're doing what he says to do. You're doing the word of God. And you're not being deceived. Why would God ever tell you to do it? He has no reason to lie. He has no reason to pull a fast one on you or anything. He has an agenda, and you will be blessed in your deed. That's a promise. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, now why are these people scattered abroad? These are Jews. Most everybody in the church, except a few proselytes or whatever, were Jewish in the first early church, in the first days of the church. And heavy persecution was coming on the church from the Sanhedrin. They had organized persecution, attacks and everything against it, and they were scattered out of Palestine throughout the known world. And as they went, they preached the gospel. So, I mean, if he can't get them to move, persecution will come. And persecution will mobilize the church, and they'll get out with the word of God somehow. But he said, these people are having trials that they didn't expect, tests and temptations that they didn't expect. And now they're out in this world that they really don't know that much about. They grew up in Hebrew school, whatever. They grew up knowing the Old Testament. They grew up not knowing a whole bunch of stuff about the world. And now he says, count it all joy when you encounter these things, for the trying of your faith works patience. Now, that's kind of blind to us. The trying of your faith, in other words, the exercise, the trying, the working of your faith, the trying of your faith works consistency. That's what patience is. Consistency. So that when you're on the peaks, you're not elated, and then go in the valley, and then you're in the doldrums, and everything's wrong, and you're crying, and you're complaining to everybody, and then you're joining Sister Sandpaper and Brother Bucketmouth and everything, and all of your words are going wrong and everything with you, and you're in a mess. If you're consistent in your thinking and in your words, you will be triumphant. Because that's what God is looking for, consistency. Are you consistent? Otherwise, you're depending, your whole life depends on the mountaintop or the valley, and you're gauging your effectiveness by the circumstances that are around you. And your circumstances are going to lie to you. God gave us the Bible to tell us why we're in the shape we're in. Now we have some answers. Work your faith. And the only way you can lose at this is to quit. Because if you just stay there and stand fast in the faith, you will win, because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. One amen. Thank you. I'm going to preach to Lori. Thank you. My brothers, this is James, and he's feeling the brother, my brothers. He's feeling Jesus' tender love for these people. My brothers, count it all joy when you encounter or you fall into diverse temptations. This word temptations means to test, try, or tempt. Knowing this, that the trying or the working of your faith produces consistency, but let that consistency have its perfect work, that you be perfect. That word perfect means to be of full age, to be totally mature, so that you can handle things. This is what patience and consistency is designed to do, to cause you to endure those things, so that it strengthens you rather than puts you down. And it's not God sending the trials either, or the tests, or the temptations. Lead us not into temptation, Jesus. God doesn't lead you into temptation. The devil does. The devil tries you, tries your faith. He wants to see how strong in faith you really are. It's the devil who tempts and tests. God doesn't test you. The enemy does. But you stand in your faith. And you cannot be overcome. That's the consistency of it. And what does that do? It brings you a full age. It makes you the wine of heaven in this earth. That's what it does. And the devil doesn't want anything to do with you. You ever notice that? That one-on-one that the devil had with Jesus in the wilderness? He never confronted Jesus face to face ever again after that. He always hid in the crowds, motivating the crowds and everything. He was always doing that. Let's go down to verse 21. You know, your faith will work endurance and consistency in your life. James 1:21 says, therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now, he's talking to believers here. About filthiness and superfluity or overflow of naughtiness. You know why? We all have that propensity. We all have a flesh. The Apostle Paul had a flesh. You have a flesh. I have a flesh. We all have that propensity to get into something that is naughty. Something that is filthy. But you know the good news is that fountain of blood is always there, and you can go to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help anytime you want, because the throne of grace is always open. It is never closed. And you can go there and you can get clean and you can get nourished and you can get grace to help in the time of need. Grace is the strength and the power of God. And it's not that you can't earn it. It's unmerited. It's something, but it is a power of God that nothing else gives you. It's the power of acceptance and love. It's His tender love. Wherefore, lay apart. And He says, put that stuff aside and receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. You know what engrafted is? If you get like two metals and you put them together, they each of them have their own properties. But then you melt them. And they become one, and their properties start to, and they're stronger together. So when the Word of God comes into your life, what happens is, it is the seed of the Word coming into your heart and melding with the soil of your heart, and it is giving everything to you that you need. It is the very properties of the Word of God are becoming yours. This is the Word of God that comes into your heart. It doesn't lose its identity. It establishes its identity in you. It merges with you. The engrafted word is something that makes you stronger. Something with, you know how many things are in the Word of God? The life of God, the blood of Jesus is in that word. The light of truth that makes you free is in that word. There are so many properties that the Word has, and all that properties, everything that is in that Word, if you let it just become itself in you, it will transform you and your life. So you renew your mind to that, and transformation will come. The blood that was in Jesus came from the Father. How did that blood get there? How did that blood get there? It was in the Word that Gabriel spoke to Mary. You shall bear a son, and his name shall be called the Son of God. That blood was in that Word. That life was in that Word. Amen. Everything that the Father was in that Word. Because he is the Word of God. And he is equal to God. He is God manifest in the flesh because of that Word. Amen. The engrafted Word. I'm telling you something. These are power principles. And receive with meekness, humility, with gratitude. The engrafted Word which is able, it is not unable. It is able to save your soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, your intellect. Your spirit's already saved, wall to wall, Holy Spirit, and on the inside of you. It's the Spirit of Christ when you're born again. Your spirit doesn't need anything more. Your mind does. Your emotions do, and your knowledge base needs to be transformed into his knowledge. Amen. This and the Word of God can bring those benefits of salvation to your soul. Amen. But don't let it sit there. Everybody say be. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You know, when you don't do what the Word says to do, you kind of confuse knowledge with maturity. Say that again. It diffuses wrong in your, when you don't do it. The Word of God stands alone when you don't do the Word of God. But if you start doing it, it infuses with your spirit. Infuses. You know what that means? Like a tea bag, it's an infuser. And whatever that is in that tea bag becomes the water. That's what makes a tea. Lori, it's tea every night. I don't drink hot tea in the summer because it's too hot. I like iced tea. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. This is a mirror. This tells me who I am. This tells me what I have. This tells me what I can do. This tells me where I am seated. So, and if I look at this and I don't do it, what I'm doing is I'm walking away from the mirror and I'm forgetting everything he said about me. Everything that this reflects from the throne of God to me, what I am, what I have, what I can do, and all of these things, this is my mirror. If the world tells me I can't do something, I can say, tough noogies world, I'm going to do it because God said I can do all things through Christ. And if he told me to do something, there's no reason from heaven that that I can't do it. Amen. This has been this church all along. We were 3.5 years in the Liberty Elementary School gym. And every month the bill came. And you know that District 300 charges a lot of money. We just operated on faith. And it was amazing. It was always there. It was just always there. And when we were experiencing extreme debt, we had never been in the red. When we moved in here, we had to renovate this place. This was all office building section off. We were on the front stoop one night on a Wednesday night praying. And I had the perfect peace of God. And we had about 15 core people at that time. We didn't have the money. We didn't have anything. But God told me to do it, so I went ahead and did it. And we signed a lease that obligated us to, 3 years of a lot of money. You know what God told me? I was preaching a message here. This is about 3 years after we were here. And I'm preaching along, and the Lord says, you know, it took as much faith to sign that lease that you signed as it does to raise the dead. And I thought about that for a minute because I was stunned. You hear these, not an audible, but in your spirit. And I was like, yeah. He's always right. But it didn't take any more faith to do that than to raise the dead. So I'm still waiting for that to happen. But here's the thing. You got to do it at God's leading. God will lead you to do things. But the thing is, I think he was preparing me for things like that. To go above and beyond what I could think or do as a person, as a man. Hallelujah. Never forget, that is the infused, engrafted word that lives and abides on the inside of you. And he said in John 15:7, he said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Look in the mirror. If you have a question about life, where you're going, whatever, look in the mirror. It'll tell you who you are. It'll tell you what you have. Tell you what you can do and where you're seated, but it'll also give you other directions, other guidance, because this is where the Holy Spirit kicks in and he starts to reveal to you the things that he has planned. He'll show you things to come. He will lead you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. And he will never tell you anything that is not in this word. So you can trust him. Those intuitions and impressions that you get. So look at all this filthiness and superfluity. And get rid of that stuff. Get rid of it. It doesn't belong to you. And the Bible says, don't steal. Thank you for that thunderous silence. We appreciate it so much. You're very, very good. Let me just, we're getting on. So I'm going to end this a little early, but I'm going to give you some things that... that the Bible tells you are yours. This is in the mirror. You can look in this mirror. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That's not something that will happen someday. That has already happened. You have been blessed. You know, when I was born into this earth, as a human being, I was born with certain rights and privileges because I have the ability to operate in a physical realm. The devil doesn't, but he needs us to operate in this realm. That's why he works in deception to get us to do stuff that he can't do. So you don't want to be the devil's henchman. You want to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and let him operate through you. Where was I going with that? You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This has already happened. The blessing of God is upon you if you're born again. The blessing of God was God's final act of creation when he blessed Adam and Eve. And that blessing empowered them to do everything that they needed to do. The blessing came and went throughout history. It showed up again in Noah. Noah got drunk. Then it came... and cursed his son. Seth walked in it for a while. Shem walked in it for a while. Then it showed up with Abraham. And it came and went, the prophets and so forth. And then Jesus came into the earth and he started speaking, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit, blessed. And he started showing you in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount how to walk in that blessing. And then the rest of it is how to walk in to manifest that blessing. Judge not, lest you be judged. Love as I have loved you, and so forth. The entire Sermon on the Mount is how to walk in the blessing of God. And you have that guide and you have the Holy Spirit as well. Blessed with every spiritual, everybody say, I'm blessed. With every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. every blessing of God is already a reality in the spirit. How do you get that in, manifest in the natural? Just do the word of God. We're going to get there in a minute. Let's go there. But be, verse 22, a verse of chapter 1, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For behold, he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. When you look into this, you find out you're a new creation and then you walk away from it, then all of a sudden you feel like you're not. But it doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what's said. So keep your eyes on this word. My son, attend unto my word. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of our heart. Keep saying them. Keep speaking them. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. For behold, he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, just like Jesus said, the law of liberty, by the way, is the word of God. Jesus said, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, and you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you continue in my word, he who continues in the perfect, see, that's the law of liberty. You continue and continue and continue and continue, and you continue saying, I'm declaring I am healed, declared, and until you're free. And that's the law of liberty. It's the way it works. You get your mind renewed, you fill your heart with it, and you start speaking it with your mouth, and the mountain will move. As long as you continue. Verse 25, for whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his what? In what he hears? In his deed. This is talking about being a doer of the word. So, number one, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You need to say that when you don't feel blessed. You need to declare it. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. It's the principle of faith. You can't get saved without acting like this. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Declare him as Lord with your mouth. You're saved. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. Doesn't matter what the devil says about it. You are saved. You are complete in Christ. There is nothing this world has to offer you that will do you any good. Everything the world offers you will bring you down. It'll bring you into bondage. Everything that Jesus offers you will lead you to freedom, truth, light, happiness. It will. You can get gratified by things in the world, but it'll never fulfill an eternal spirit that you are. You're delivered from the power of darkness. That's what the word says. We get ourselves in so many different things and it feels dark sometimes, isn't it? You feel alone sometimes, but you've been delivered from that. You've been delivered from the power of darkness, and you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. The problem is with many, many of us, believers, is that we're trying to operate in the natural realm, and we have already been transferred into the kingdom of God to operate in his kingdom. The kingdom of faith and love and joy and peace and the attributes of God that are there for us to use. Jesus used peace to calm the storm. Amen. He used peace to shut the Pharisees up. Peace. You know, and after he was murdered and rose from the dead, the disciples are up there, and who knows? Jesus, I know he's Jesus. And all of a sudden he's there. You know, Jesus didn't need that tomb to be opened up to get out. He could have got out anyhow. He already materialized. You know, he proved that. He opened that tomb so people could get in and see that empty cocoon of bandages and spikenard that was just lying there empty, and the only way he could have gotten out was if he just got beamed out. He could have said, beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Father. So many things are And look at this. Philip, in Acts chapter 8, Philip was transported that way. Before, and Philip was still, you know, had a natural human body. He didn't have a glorified body like Jesus. And God translated him. You can read about it. Exciting things await for us. And as we continue towards the end of time, look at this world. I mean, it's happening. And there is a time coming very, 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 very soon. It's just like, it's happening. It's happening right before our eyes. Deception. They said, what are the signs of the end? And he said, take heed that no man deceive you. That's the first thing he said. Deception will run the earth so rampantly that if it were possible that even the elect would be deceived. This is why you got to stay with your nose, with your eyes on the mirror. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. Don't let that darkness come into that's filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and so forth. Just let it go. Cut it loose. God can't do that for you. You need to do that yourself. Amen. You've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. We now belong in the kingdom of God. Let's learn those principles and operate in those principles, and the whole kingdom of God will back you up. Amen. You are not under the dominion of sin. Romans 6:14 says this, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And it is the grace of God, it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, it is the grace of God that teaches us to resist ungodliness. And the grace of God teaching right will lead you to the right place. You are a servant of righteousness. If you have a journal, or if you journal and you write confessions, faith confessions out, just say this: I'm not under the dominion of sin. I am a servant of righteousness. And if it's not righteousness, if it doesn't bring, if it leads away from my right standing in God, it's I'm not under that power to do that. I am under the power of righteousness, and I have been empowered by righteousness. Servants of righteousness. I am a servant of God. Oh, that takes a lot of problems right out of play. I'm a person of hope. I have a living hope because Christ rose from the dead. One powerful way I can summarize this, I'll say, because I am a new creation in Christ, I am born of God. I am a child of God. I am righteous. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am reconciled. I am accepted. I am alive in Christ. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am seated with Christ. I am created for good works, and the devil can't stop me. And I am empowered to live as an overcomer. And I am an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Do you know what you have as an ambassador? You have diplomatic immunity, and the devil can't touch you. He can't touch you. He... You invoke that, and he will stand back. Amen. You're an ambassador for Christ. Right. You represent the kingdom of God. He has already given. That's not something that's going to happen. You have that right. Just like you were born into this world, you were born with certain rights. And privileges, just like you were in the United States, born. Amen. With rights and privileges as a citizen. Well, now you're a citizen of heaven. And you are an ambassador of heaven, the light of heaven. Amen. You have the authority of heaven. Amen. You have been delegated authority. Yes. You are light of light of lights. Amen. Hallelujah. And be a doer of the word, and let the word manifest itself through you. Praise. You say this: I am a doer of the word, and not a hearer only. If I see it in the word, I do it. I speak it. I walk it. I pray it. I live it. The word of God has been given to me. And it will manifest its power through me. In health, in finances, in situations, It will correct all of my circumstances and bring me in line with the perfect will of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey! God's alive. Praise God. I hope you got something out of that, because if you didn't, I sure did.